On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are, and thank you for coming by. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Tuesday to you. May 11th, 2021. My name is Tom Sullivan. I gotta at least mention it, but Hamas is firing hundreds of rockets into Israel, including Tel Aviv, and people are being. There are some casualties, the reason why I go, is because this is a story that happens like every 4.7 years. It's just Hamas, Israel, they fight, they bomb, they throw missiles, and then it stops 4 or 5 days later. And it's got to be terrifying for the people that live there, but I'm just... This is just the ongoing battle between, Iran's puppet, Hamas, and Israel. This is their way to harass Israel. So I feel bad for them, but it really is. I mean, we could rack up the same story from years ago and years before that and years before that. It would sound exactly the same. So we wish the people there peace, but they're not having it right now. HR1 being debated right now in the Senate. The question is, will it get through the Senate? Karl Rove doesn't think it will. Trey Gowdy, former Republican congressman from South Carolina, says, "Yeah, this is the big enchilada. The stakes on this. This is the New York Times calls HR1 the For the People Act." This is going to change all kinds of voting laws and have the federal government dictate to the states what they can and cannot do in elections, which is not the way this has ever been designed before. But they're trying to grab control, and I think it's shameful. Fine if you want to try and pass policy, but this is about our vote. And I think you should be outraged by the fact that they're trying to change your voting rights. In any case, Trey Gowdy remarked what the New York Times says. This is the liberal number one legislative cause. And Gowdy says, yeah, the stakes could not be higher.
It also highlights the stupidity of the Republican battle back in January when control of the Senate really was on the ballot. And we could not get our act together in Georgia and wound up losing two eminently winnable seats, or else you and I would be talking about something else right now, Harris. This bill would have no chance of passing the Senate and ever becoming law. What is it? It is a federalization of our election. So if you want the greatest manifestation that our founders did not believe in a federalized election, look at the Electoral College. I mean, the states pick the president, not all the voters. The states do. The states run elections. The states decide when the polls open and when they close, who can pass out water in the lines and who cannot. This bill started as a Christmas list, a wish list by Democrats when they were in the minority. And they decided to kind of codify it and put it in legislative form. Mm. If you want Congress deciding, we just had a census. So you have redistricting and reapportionment coming up. If you want that to be federalized, if you don't want your state legislative bodies deciding where the lines are drawn in your state, then you'll love this bill. If you want federal funding for elections, you will love this bill. If you want limits on free speech and who can exercise their ability to participate in elections, you'll love this. And if you think that Washington knows better how to run elections in your home precinct and your home county, then you will love this bill. And if you think that D.C. ought to get two more senators, thereby guaranteeing Senate control by the Democrats for at least the next decade, then you'll love the bill.
Yeah. Yeah, it's federalizing of the elections, and it comes down to you, not your state. It comes down to you and your ability to have your vote protected and your rights to vote. Karl Rove gets into it. One more from him about the fact that there's a lot that can spill out if this thing ever gets passed.
Oh, yeah, you'd have free speech issues. You would have voter integrity issues. You would have the infringing on the rights of states. This, for example, says states can legislatures have no role in drawing the lines for themselves or for their congressional districts. Where in the Constitution is the authority for the federal government to step in and do that? So you would have lawsuits up and down the line. Now, I don't think it passes because, look, if you were Joe Manchin with a state that has a voter ID law, or Mark Kelly with a voter ID law, do you really want, or Maggie Hassan, whose Democratic Secretary of State is totally against this bill, do you want to go home and say, yeah, I decided to take authority away from my state and give it to Washington in a bill that is clearly designed to benefit the Democratic Party.
So then why are they doing it?
Well, it is to point out what the Democrats are doing. I mean, this is not for the people. It's for the politicians. Think about it. Federal dollars will go to match your campaign contribution 6-1. And not only that, but they want to set up a test where in 6 states, everybody gets a $25 voucher. You give it to a campaign, and the campaign turns it into the government and gets money from the federal treasury. I mean, come on. I mean, this is a Protection of the Politicians Act, not for the people.
Oh. Yeah, it's not for the people. It really is a protecting protecting them. That's what it's about. I don't want the federal government to get any more power in any way, shape, or form when it comes to this. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. There's our friend James in Cleveland. Hello, James. Oh, we're on, we're there we are. There we are. Hey.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You're 7 seconds behind us, but turn that radio down. Come on, man. You know better.
I got it down. Is that better? Is that better, sir?
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah.
So, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about?
Your comments about the Republicans. Republicans are pretty much useless, but at least they're not Democrats. At least they don't hate America. At least they don't despise Americans. And that's why I vote Republican. I used to be a Democrat, but I know what they think of America, and I know what they think of this country, and what they think of our institutions, what they think of the church, what they think of schools. And Republicans...
Did you just hear Trey Gowdy talking about the fact that we wouldn't be having this conversation if the Republicans had not messed up the Georgia Senate elections? What do you think that was about? How did that happen?
I'm not at all. Well, we let the Democrats cheat and steal and voter fraud, and because Republicans just doesn't have them, it's not in their nature to fight. And that's why I wasn't a Republican for decades, because they don't fight. They don't care. They will fight when the battle is over. That's when they show up. Like right now, they're all unified, all 50 senators, but they can't stop anything. Because Kamala Harris would just get the tie-breaking vote. So they all stick together when it doesn't make any difference, when it doesn't matter. Democrats ain't like that. Democrats will blow their own mother's brains out to get what they want. They are destroying America. Abortion, infanticide.
However you look at it, one party seems to have leaders. They know what their vision is, and they lead their troops to get that done. And the other party doesn't. They fight with each other.
Yeah, because
it's a sad time.
Because they don't want to fight. They're not willing to engage the evil because
I think
they know
what's
going to happen to them.
I think
who wants to get treated like Donald Trump got treated? Every single day before he became president, he was called a xenophobe, a homophobe, a misogynist, a sexist pig, a demon rat, a demon. For over 4 years, every single day. It was relentless attacks against him. And I understand Republicans. No matter who wants to stand up and get treated like that every single day. They came after his children. They came after his wife. I understand why Republicans are cowards. Nobody wants to get treated like that. Nobody wants to be denigrated and demeaned by demons. Who wants that? And I'm glad I voted for him. I voted for him the second time around. Didn't make it because of voter fraud and cheating. But oh well, that's life. But let me give you a quote. Alex de Tocqueville. I'm not pronouncing it. He's a Frenchman. And
I know what you mean.
The late 16th century, one of those, 1777 or somewhere along in there. He said, now I'm paraphrasing, America's form of government will last until the people realize they can vote themselves the public treasury. And that's what happened in America. That's what took down the Roman Empire. The people voted in the politician that said, I'm going to line your pocket with bread and circuses. And inflation was rampant. The taxes went through the roof. The economy collapsed. America is repeating the same exact thing one more time. The only thing different is people's names. But the behavior is the same. You're right. We got people that voted for Democrats because they put money in their pocket. There are people, millions of Americans, sitting at home drawing a check. Well, the bill's going to come due eventually. And we're already paying inflation, but you ain't seen nothing yet. If the Democrats get that $4 trillion bill through, my God, our economy will be crushed. And the prophecy that de Tocqueville made will come true. To me, it was kind of obvious. All he did
all great countries have only been defeated by themselves internally. They've never been defeated. Great countries, great empires have never fallen from a foreign adversary. They've always fallen because of their own internal problems. So, all right. Well, listen, I always like to get what your comments are. James, thank you. I appreciate the call. I've got the latest popularity from Associated Press. I think James will be unhappy with it, but I'll tell you about it when we come back. Phone number is 855-295-6600.
Tom, thank you for your call screener. He sounds tired today. I know you must get it from outside.
Don't. There goes his pay. Back to Israel for a minute. They're targeting, Hamas is targeting Tel Aviv. So 700 rockets have hit Israel. Netanyahu is threatening a severe retaliation. The Iron Dome that they have, it's overwhelmed. They can't catch all the rockets that are coming in. Don't even bother trying to go there. Ben-Gurion Airport has been closed. So it's sad, but I mean, you could rack this story up from, I don't know, it wasn't that long ago, and not that long before that, and not that long before that. And they will keep doing this. Everybody tries to find peace in the Middle East, and nobody's been successful yet. So I told James about the popularity of Joe Biden. And this is Associated Press came out with this earlier this morning. And overall, Biden has an approval rating of 63%. The overall thing, 63%. That is high. No question about it. When it comes to some of the categories, 71% approval of Biden's handling of the coronavirus. 62% of his handling of health care. 57% approve of his handling of the economy. Direction of the country, 54% say it's going the right direction, 44% say it's not. The only area that he falls under 50% is immigration. 43% say they approve of the way he's handling immigration. So Trey Gowdy, once again, weighs in on these approval ratings for Joe Biden.
Yeah, I used to tell my Republican friends all the time, there's nothing wrong with being likable. There's no rule that says you have to be unlikable in politics. And Biden is a likable guy. The border is a mess. I think he's wrong on why people aren't applying for jobs. And his party is trying to drag him to crazy town. But even as he interacts with our own Peter Ducey, he's a likable guy, and that's going to get you close to 50% alone in politics. Just don't be a terrible human being, and you're about 50%.
Yep. Trey's right. All you got to do is likability. I brought this up before, and some of you have disagreed with me on it, which is fine, but likability is everything in politics. People don't really pay that much attention to what your policies are. All I know is that guy, yeah, he's. I got some checks from him. I mean, I got money in my bank account because of him. So, I mean, what's not to like? Seems like a nice gentleman, kind of doting a little bit, but that's where we are, folks. That is where we are. I think, however, that he's riding a wave that I don't know if it's going to last that long. And the reason why I say that is what happens when the punch bowl is taken away? What happens when the checks don't keep rolling in? What happens post-pandemic, whenever that is? But it will be before November of 22. And how many people are then working, and how many people of the 8 million that haven't recovered or haven't gotten jobs, have still gone the unemployed from back in March of last year? What are they doing? Are restrictions still in place? Are there going to be places where you can't go without a vaccine passport? But I think the big thing is always follow the money. And right now, if the money keeps coming, I mean, we got some from Trump, we got some from Biden, and they're talking about trying to get more. But I can't help but think that two things, when the money stops coming and inflation, which is already showing up, if inflation sticks and keeps growing, there's going to be a lot of you that are going, what happened? What happened? How is it that I can't afford anything? So enjoy it, President Biden, while you've got it. I mean, it's favorable to you. But the jury is out on what's going to happen when, again, the money stops coming and inflation starts hitting your wallet. Time it is. So, this happened quickly. Remember, we told you the story about the fact that the bad guys from over in Eastern Europe did a whack job on colonial pipelines. And Ira Victor was on with us yesterday talking about all of that sort of thing. I think more and more people, I've seen more and more political leaders actually saying, oh, this is a problem, isn't it? We are that susceptible I mean, I look at this and I'm not going to give them any ideas. They already have these ideas. But if a hacker can take down a pipeline that provides 45% of the fuel to the eastern United States, then why do you don't have to make bombs? You don't have to do any of that stuff. But, I mean, you could create lots of havoc with all kinds of mischief, whether it's using old-style terrorist techniques or whether they're using cybercrime or whatever it might be. But there are problems in Virginia. You guys, gals in Virginia, having trouble getting your gas? Have you been out to the gas station today? Are they giving you gas? Same with Florida. What's going on with you guys? Are the gas stations open? Virginia Governor Ralph Northam has declared a state of emergency over the pipeline. Colonial has temporarily resumed one of their line operations. One. But I saw a story where it's going at 5 miles an hour. The gas is going through the pipeline at 5 miles an hour. And that would get it up to the end of the line up in New Jersey sometime weeks down the road. So the CEO over at Colonial is warning of fuel shortages even when they get things running again. The pipeline starts in Texas, goes through Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, corner of it, and then into New Jersey. Right, it stops right across the river from New York. So the problem they're having, the CEO said, despite plans to reopen part of it, the CEO is warning state officials to be ready for possible fuel shortages. There are a number of stations that have signs up along the way saying out of gas. And I presume it's because people heard and they went and they filled up everything they could possibly fill up. So I don't know how much you drive, but most cars today kind of have tanks that will give you a week going back and forth to work. A little more for some, a little less for others. But, I mean, I don't know how long this is going to take. They're manually operating a portion of the pipeline that runs from North Carolina to Maryland. Who's this guy? Early reports indicate Virginia reporting 5% of stations without gasoline. This after 2 hours of reporting. So I'm still bothered by this. I'm fine. I don't need gasoline. But I'm looking at this and American Airlines. Where did I put my American Airlines story? American Airlines, instead of doing transcontinental nonstop coverage, they've got a couple flights from Charlotte that go out to California. And then they go from there to Honolulu. It's normally a nonstop. Not anymore. They're flying out of Charlotte and they're stopping in Dallas to gas up. So they're using just enough fuel to get to Texas, and then they're gassing up there for the rest of the flight. Because they've got to limit the gas. There's another route that they have from Charlotte to London, and they're stopping in Boston to refuel. So my concern out of all of this, and you see it every once in a while, not in airlines, but in general aviation, where somebody fueled up a plane with the wrong fuel. There's jet fuel and there's fuel for general aviation. And they're not the same. And the problem is that the jet fuel will work in a prop plane for a little while. And the problems that I've seen are the ones for our accident studies where somebody got the wrong fuel and they took off and they got a couple of miles and the engine quits. So my concern out of all of this is if they can go in and mess around with the pipes, some of the pipes that they have are for jet fuel. And what if they mix other fuel into the jet fuel? Does anybody in the airline business really check? The general aviation pilots supposed to check. I think most of them do. But I'm concerned that they could turn this into where the jets get fuel and they take off and they don't get very far. And there's not as many places that you can put an airliner down that you can with a you can land a little prop on a freeway if you need to. Hopefully. So this is still a mess. And like I said, people are starting to go, maybe we should think more about our security. We're sitting ducks. We're like sitting ducks. So I for those of you that are not on the East Coast, are you seeing the prices at the pump changing? Because that's the other thing that these gasoline companies are going, well, if we can't sell our gas up the Colonial Pipeline gas line, then maybe we can sell it for a higher price somewhere else to make up for our loss on the East Coast. No clearinghouse for ransomware cases. Why not? They should be. The FBI should have some section of the FBI that is devoted to ransomware. Their ransomware victims have paid criminals at least $350 million in cryptocurrency payments just in 2020. Just last year, $350 million. And you know that it's happening, and a lot of these places are not saying boo. Not at all. The number one place that is hit by ransomware is retail. And then tied with retail is education. Finally, business and professional services, then government, then technology, then manufacturing, and then down to energy, oil, gas, and utilities. They've hit hospitals. They've hit city halls. They've hit banks. They've hit construction companies. September hack cost a hospital chain, United Health Services, $67 million last year. They knocked a dozen hospitals offline. Remember that one? There was a 10,000-student Sheldon Independent School District in Houston paid $200,000, negotiated down from $350,000. They said they couldn't function. So I don't know if there's a gas shortage where you are. I hope not. Phone number here, 855-295-6600. All the ways to contact the show, including that number, is on my website, TomSullivan.com.
Tom Sullivan.
He's a stable genius. He's the smartest guy in the room.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Yeah, looking at the map of where gas is in short supply, Gas Buddy, I know, it's a name. Gas Buddy is a great site for where gasoline is and is not. But apparently, I haven't been out to the gas station today. I haven't even been out, so I don't know. But apparently there are long lines at gas stations that are forming. People are freaking out. They don't know where the gas is, and so they're just running out and getting gas as fast as they possibly can. So there's in Raleigh, they're saying there's a gas station there where all day long the cars have been 30 deep in line as the people roll in and buy all this gas. And apparently the gas station owners are having a cow because nobody's coming in to get snacks or sodas or anything from their convenience store, and that's apparently where they make a lot of their money. So they're now asking people to report station fuel status versus via the emergency fuel tracker at the Gas Buddy app site. I'm looking at photos in, this is north in Myrtle Beach. They're big line as far as you can see down the road. So everybody, that's what the news is out there, and people freak. So it reminds me of last year when national emergency, COVID, got to shut everything down. What did people do? They ran to the grocery store and they bought toilet paper and paper towels. What else did they buy that we could not find? I mean, there's other stuff too, but what struck me was how many rolls of toilet paper do you have in your house right now that you've had from last year? Because you bought cases, just in case. So we freak out on this stuff, and so the hoarders have hoarded. And they're getting the gas as fast as they can, and they're out in line trying to buy whatever they can possibly buy. So they're asking people to report via the emergency fuel tracker at Gas Buddy app. And it's being shared, they say, at high levels to improve the situation. There's nothing they can do. What are you going to do if you're a gas station owner and you're out of gas? What are you going to do? Put your potato chips on sale? I'm not sure. So this is, especially the South is in Southeast. People are looking for gasoline today. So be glad you have it. I don't know if prices elsewhere are higher or not, but it doesn't seem like it. I looked at the map for Gas Buddy. You know who has the highest gas in the nation, which isn't affected at all by this? California has the highest price for gasoline in the nation by far. Nobody else can come close. Let me see if I can pull that map up again here. Let me just, there it is. So California is higher than $3.66. It's the only place in the nation. There's a lot of states that are down in most of the states, especially the Midwest and the South, even up the Eastern Seaboard, are in the mid-2s, something like that. And, of course, down in parts of Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, you're down in the less than $2.28. So the same product, $2 for most people, but in California, and Hawaii, it's more than $3.66. And they're not affected by the pipeline problem at all. They just have high-priced gas. I don't know why. All right. We were talking about Joe Biden's popularity. I said, I don't know. I get it. He's handing out checks, so people are going, this is great. The COVID cases are dropping like a rock. So that's great. So this is all good news. So people are going, yeah, this is great. The country's going in the right direction. But I really do wonder if anybody there plays chess as opposed to checkers. Because if you're playing checkers, this looks great. You got a great move behind you and you got another one in front of you. But if you're playing chess and you're three or four steps down the road, what happens when they take the money away? What happens when there's no more checks coming? What happens when we are past the pandemic, and millions of people are looking for jobs. And about that job business, the president got up yesterday while we were on the air, and he is convinced that people would not cheat and take money for federal unemployment benefits if they could get a job. He literally thinks that they would not pass up a job for federal benefits. Here's what the president said.
Anyone collecting unemployment who is offered a suitable job must take the job or lose their unemployment benefits.
Yeah. So there you go. You're going to lose your unemployment benefits. I got the feeling from him saying that there is a mood change in the White House, that they're starting to realize, oh, maybe we have gone too far. Maybe all these extra dollars that we're sending out to people are keeping people from going back to work. Because yesterday, I've got more of them today, but I'm not going to bore you with them. Tons of business owners around the country saying, we can't find people. And yet, this morning, a report comes out. It comes out every month. About how many, it's called the JOLT report, jobs open. And Rick Santelli over at CNBC, Cut 5, reported on a record high number of jobs that are open.
All right, I'll tell you, folks, you're going to get a jolt out of jolts. Job openings and labor turnover surpassed the 7.5 million job openings and crashed through 8 million. 8 million! 123,000. Wow. This is huge. All these job openings, and the debate rages on as to exactly why we're not filling them. Whether it's skills, whether it's benefits, whether it's fear of COVID, whether it's child care and school issues. I can't tell you the percentages of each, but I can tell you for sure it's part of all those. And this number is certainly going to incite people to continue to kick the tires on some of the stimulative policies, whether the Fed or Uncle Sam, because 8,123,000 openings is a lot.